This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Hi, everybody. Harry Carey here. We've got a great show lined up for you.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I once took a pair of binoculars and stared at the sun for over an hour.
Why would you do that?
Curiosity, I guess. Heck, I'm curious like a cat. I have a couple of friends that call me Whiskers.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Hey, now, kid, we all know that the moon is not made of green cheese.
Yes, that's true, Harry.
But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
And Brendan Sprague.
I know I would. Heck, I'd have seconds. And then polish it off with a tall, cool Budweiser.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Wednesday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hope your days are going well. It's been a busy show. A Saturday story coming up. We got stolen card news to get to. It's going to be a busy, busy final hour, but we've been talking a lot of college football, really the last 45 minutes of the show, about what's going on potentially in the Big Ten, what the Pac-12 is looking like, the Ivy League decision. There's a lot going on and a lot to unpack, and joining us now, couldn't have timed it out better, Stuart Mandel, editor-in-chief of The Athletic. Give him a follow on Twitter, at SL Mandel. He's a national college football writer. Stuart, thanks so much, man. We love getting the chance to talk some college football with you. I'll just start. Kind of the elephant in the room right now is this Ivy League decision to cancel or postpone fall sports and what it means for everybody else. What's your take on it? And what's your reaction to a decision that we've kind of seen coming, but now we know is official?
Well, some people might say, oh, the Ivy League, what does that have to do with Power Five football? They don't really have much in common. Obviously, there's not nearly as much money involved or at stake with the Ivy League. But at the end of the day, you know, while the commissioners and the athletic directors are the people who we see quoted all the time and who are kind of the faces of their conference, at the end of the day, university presidents have the final say. And I think that if this ends up causing a domino effect where other FCS or other lower league conferences make similar decisions to postpone football, that's going to put more pressure on those presidents who look up to certainly the president of Harvard, or the president of Princeton, the president of Yale, and start to say, okay, are we making the wrong decision? Are we not prioritizing the health and safety of our athletes enough?
Stuart, what percentage chance would you give it that we see college football in the fall right now?
Oh, man, it's everything changes from week to week, right,
yeah.
in the age of COVID. I mean, I would put it at a very low percentage that it's going to start on time, just because if you work backward, the 6 week, you know, the extended 6 week training camp that they're supposed to be holding this year is supposed to start on July 24th. That's right around the corner. And in a lot of places in the country, they're nowhere near in the position to be able to have a full football team get together and practice. So that obviously would push the start of the season at least a little bit. And then, you know, I think it just depends on where is the country in terms of handling this virus a month later. Is it feasible to start training camp a month later and start the season a month later? If not, then I think it gets, you know, you're losing your window to be able to play in the fall.
Well, and Stuart, what do you think it does to these non-conference matchups that we have slated, like Oregon, Ohio State, for example? That may not happen this year. Does that just push another non-conference game with Ohio State with somebody else back to like 2060? Is that we're going to start doing now, scheduling out to 2060 with all these pushbacks?
Yeah, I mean, this is where the schools are going to really regret having booked all their games 20 years in advance. It's not clear yet. I mean, I do think we are heading toward a shortened season. But the biggest issue about non-conference games that I don't think necessarily, at least I grasped early on, is, I mean, those group of five FCS games will be the first to go because you just can't control what are those schools doing to test and ensure that they're not putting infected players out on the field. You know, if you keep it in conference, you can regulate that. You can have protocols that all the schools have to follow. You know, Ohio State can't mandate how Youngstown State is handling that. So those will be the first to go. I'm sure they want to preserve, if at all possible, the blockbuster non-conference games. I mean, certainly I don't see there being a fall season and Notre Dame doesn't have anybody to play. They will find a way to keep those games. It's the other ones, it's the lower level ones that I think when you hear that talk of conference only, it might be conference only and one, you know, you're and then you get to preserve your one big Power Five non-conference game.
That's a really good point. I didn't even think about with Notre Dame is not having a full, if they go full conference schedule. Stuart Mandel, National College Football writer, our guest. Give him a follow on Twitter at SL Mandel. You know, the decision potentially for the Ivy League to move things to the spring, everybody's had a differing opinion on that. Can it work? Will it work? NFL draft? Is it too tight of a window to next fall? We've had some coaches that have been negative against it. Then you got a guy like Lincoln Riley was like, hell yeah, we can do that. It's doable. Where do you come down on that? I know it's been widely debated, but if it becomes a situation where you're not going to get it in this fall, how feasible is a spring college football season?
Yeah, I mean, there'd be a lot of challenges, to say the least. It would be very clunky. The number one issue to me is the wear and tear on guys' bodies if they have to play two college football seasons in one calendar year. You know, if you're going to do this, I think you would have to at least delay somewhat the start of the following season. But I think that you know, Lincoln Riley said that, and you're right. There's contrasting opinions. I think the people who say you can't do it aren't necessarily grasping the severity of the impact if there's no football at all this year. That's 85% of Alabama's budget or Ohio State's or any of these major schools. So if the choice is, you know, play a very clunky spring season where all the top star players aren't even playing in it because they're preparing for the draft, or not playing football at all the entire calendar, I mean, the entire academic year, I mean, they're going to play. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a choice, really.
Do you think, Stuart, that they, you know, part of COVID, you learn lessons from stuff like this, right? And what dictates what you do in the future? Do you think, because given the information we've had at the coach buyout money from all these programs, I think there was a story not too long ago, it was like $500 million. Programs were spending $30 million on coaches to not coach anymore. Do you think this is going to fundamentally change the way that universities negotiate and pay head coaches in college football, or do you think that's not going to change at all?
I think possibly for a little bit, you know, for the next couple of years. I mean, this has been a lesson for everybody, and they had it good for so long, and they never worried about actually saving any money, and that's certainly proving to be a lesson. And I mean, if you noticed when Oklahoma State issued its punishment to Mike Gundy, it used that as a way to figure out a way to lower that buyout, that extraordinary buyout these coaches have. But I wrote about this a little while ago. Not too long after that, I mean, once we get through this pandemic, four of the five power conferences have TV deals coming up. They are going to be getting even more money than they get now. And as we know, colleges, as soon as they get more money, what is the first thing they do? Find ways to spend it. So I don't know. I don't know how long that discipline will stay in effect.
Yeah, it's like Nebraska, I think, still on the hook paying like four different head coaches at the same time, all sorts of buyouts and Scott Frost. The other big news that came out here just on the West Coast, at least today, was the news out of Stanford that we haven't talked about much, but I think it's a pretty big sign maybe of things to come. They had to cut, I believe it was 11 non-revenue generating sports. Just what was your reaction when you saw that news, and how big of a iceberg is underneath that tip, if you will, with Stanford being the first one to cut all those programs?
It was pretty stunning. Stanford is a school that, because they're a private school, almost never discloses anything financial. So it was this press release was the first I'd seen that even before COVID, they'd been starting to mount a pretty significant annual deficit in athletics. So this becomes almost a way to address that. Even, you know, yes, it was going to get even worse because of the pandemic, but it was already a problem. And they have the biggest or the second biggest athletic department in the country. Obviously, it's very expensive. But, yes, I do think you're going to see more of that around the country. Maybe not that 11 teams. I mean, Stanford had 36 to begin with. Even after 11, they have more than a lot of Power 5 programs. But certainly the pressure that they're under is the same pressure that everybody else is under. And I think, you know, while people are trying to avoid it, if possible, you know, I think that's unfortunately the reality, is that as schools start to, if it becomes official or unavoidable that you're not going to be able to put fans in the stands, and you calculate the tens of millions in ticket revenue you're going to lose, then unfortunately the way they're going to address that is to cut non-revenue teams.
You know, the Big Ten announced today that they might move to a 10 conference game schedule. And you got to wonder, if they do that, how many other conferences kind of follow suit. If we get to that point where these conferences conclude they can't do non-conference, it's easier to just stay within. Let's even say, for argument's sake, they conclude to do the same amount of games as each other, despite these conferences having different number of conference games. How the hell do you figure out a playoff if you don't have non-conference matchups? You know what I mean? Like, I can imagine Alabama somehow gets in easily with like a 3-loss season, whereas a team like Oregon or Washington, they might have to really fight for that representation with only 2 losses because of the lack of respect the Pac-12 gets compared to so many other conferences.
I mean, it's going to be a complete mess. There's no way around it. I mean, you may, even if you set out to try to play the same number of games, there are going to be cancellations. Yeah. Teams are, you know, the committee might be evaluating a team that went undefeated but only played 9 games against a team that went, 11-2. I think the one thing college football has going for it is we have 100-something years of experience of letting people decide who wins the championship rather than the teams themselves. You know, I look at baseball in the 60-game season, and it's just, people saying, oh, is there going to be an asterisk next to it? I'm like, well, up until about 1998, we had an asterisk next to every year's national champion in college football. Nobody really knew who won it. So that's what we'll have to do. You know, maybe there'll be split champions. Maybe there'll be 3 champions. I mean, like the old days.
That would be so weird to go back pre-1998.
Oregon better jump in then and get a half a championship.
I'm claiming that national championship. I'll get you out on this one, Stuart. You mentioned the July 24th date being a big one. I think stuff can start ramping up on like the 13th as well. So we're getting closer to that. But the Ivy League decision happening, just how far off do you think we are from having a concrete understanding of what, if at all, the fall football season will look like?
I think everything's heading towards some sort of decision in late July or maybe the first week of August because of that timetable I said earlier. Now, are they going to come out and say we're pushing it to the spring, or are they going to come out and say we're hitting the pause button and we're going to check back in a month? You know, that I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And we may have announcements that effect sooner than that. You know, we may, whether it's the Big Ten or the Pac-12, somebody may go ahead and say we're shortening the season to 10 games. But, you know, what you decide now, even that might be impractical a month from now. So, but you do have to, you know, before the teams are supposed to report to training camp, they need to know if they can go forward with that. I mean, the reality is right now, I live in near Stanford. They couldn't have 100 people in one place right now. It's not allowed. So, you know, whatever the schools want to do, there are a lot of places where you're not even legally going to be allowed to have, you know, a quote-unquote gathering, as in a football practice, even if you, you know, think you can do it safely. So, you know, the window is closing, to say the least. For months, it was like, oh, we got time. And now it's, nope, you're running out of time. You probably need to decide something in the next few weeks.
Yeah, that runway is getting shorter and shorter. Stuart Mandel, editor-in-chief of The Athletic, national college football writer. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at SL Mandel. There's a lot going on in the world of college football. We can't thank you enough. Thanks for taking a few minutes for us here in Portland, man. We always appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go, Stuart Mandel. You're coming closer and closer, I would say, to a decision ultimately being made. But yeah, your question about how you'd feel the college football playoff, I've seen some people, and I think we had some listeners texted in earlier, it's a great opportunity to expand the playoff if you're going to go with a conference only schedule.
Try it out for a year. Maybe you end up loving an 8-12 team playoff just to say it's COVID season, right? Like the NBA is doing a play-in tournament for the
eighth seed. Exactly. You're changing up. Baseball flirted with the idea of expanding the playoffs.
Yeah, baseball's bringing... Are they bringing the...
They're not doing it. They didn't end up doing it, but they were going to if they had approved the owner's plan. They wanted 16 teams in there.
But I think this is the year to, change it up a little bit. Just do something different. See how you feel about it, at least. And if you do a 10-12 team playoff, If you're just doing conference games, I don't know what other options you have outside of doing that, because it's just not going to end up being fair. It's going to be the blue bloods that get picked over a team in a conference that isn't as well respected.
Yeah,
Clemson could have two losses. Oregon could have two losses. I think Oregon plays in a much tougher conference. Guess who's going to get that benefit? Dabo. So this might be the year to kick around the 8-12 team playoff.
I'd be all for it, man. It's weird. Hopefully we'll have some firmer answers coming up, but a lot of news going on in the college football world, and we'll just continue to track it. Let's get to your favorite segments. Favorite segments, Stat or Story, next on The Fan.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, don't mess.
The Fan.
Sorry, folks, Saturday story time. Dicker chimed in with a good one at the Fan text line. 503-250-1080 saying, what if Oregon State becomes bowl eligible this year, but all the bowl games outside of the playoff are canceled?
Bowl team. Got them back.
Wouldn't that suck, though? Like, to get back to a bowl game and then not have the chance to go play in a bowl game? That'd be brutal.
All of this sucks.
Yeah, everything sucks.
All of it sucks.
That's true. Everything sucks.
You suck. I suck. Swag sucks.
That's a good slogan. Everything sucks.
Yeah, Trump should run on that.
Everything sucks.
Biden should run on that. Everything sucks.
Hey, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It all sucks. All right, Statter story time. What do we got today, Swagger?
All right, well, we got some fun. It is the 10th anniversary of the decision.
Ah.
It was on this day that LeBron James told everybody he was taking his talents to South Beach.
Rick Bucher wrote a really, if you're curious or you liked that moment, Rick Bucher wrote a really in-depth look at how all the other teams he talked with felt about their meeting.
And like how confident everybody was about maybe
they were sure
him.
Bron Bulls, was coming.
Yeah, the Bulls were convinced they had him because they came in the meeting after Cleveland, and Cleveland's meeting was super short, which led them to believe that he wasn't leaning Cleveland at all. So after their 2 or 3 hour meeting, Bucher says everybody else was rushed out. They actually asked Reinsdorf and company if they wanted to hang around and have pastries. So they had like deli, you know, pastries, and they just talked non.
So they thought they were going to get
and
them.
And they thought that that was a sign of like, God, we really love you. We want to hang with you.
Interesting.
Your first number is 26.
26.
Is it the total number of triple doubles LeBron James had while playing for the Miami Heat, including playoff games?
Is it for 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it the age of a Louisiana man who recently was arrested after jumping into the indoor aquarium at a local pro bass shop, swimming around to fulfill a promise made on his TikTok account?
Didn't we talk about this already?
We did talk about that, but okay. I don't remember.
I feel like he was a little older, but yeah, 26 is a pretty good TikTok age.
You're going in the range. I mean, that's what, like 320 or so games, depending on how many missed or sat out. I can't remember if he was hurt.
Well, he went to the finals every year.
Yeah, but was it regular season games or
no,
just in
including
general?
Playoff games?
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to say he had more than that, and the guy was in his mid-20s. Give me story.
Stat.
It's a story. But LeBron only had 14 triple-doubles.
Still counts as a win, baby. I'm going to a bowl game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Dirt has won.
I got
a
one right.
Statter story.
I got one right.
This comes to us from the Huffington Post from Bossier City. It is Louisiana. We got
Dateline, Louisiana.
Dateline, Bossier City. Kevin Wise, 26 years old, took KSLA-TV, plunged into the indoor aquarium at a pro bass shop to follow through on a promise he made to followers. Said if he got 2,000 likes, he'd jump in the tank. Got way more than that. Didn't want to be a liar. The video was captured by shopper Treasure McGraw.
Treasure.
So, the store was not all that pleased. The Bossier City Police Department said it had come down, cited him, processed him. He's got a appearance in court, criminal damage to property. They had to empty out the 13,000-gallon aquarium and clean it after his swim.
Jeez.
What a fisher in those.
Can we not do dumb crap for social media, please?
Yes, I'm all right there with you.
We've missed that mark. TikTok has made this exponentially worse.
Somebody said even though Dirt was right, he was still so amazingly bad at this game. That is true, but I got it right. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter if my math on the way to get there is right or wrong. I got the answer right, okay?
My daughter, she does TikTok once in a while. We like have a time limit.
I heard they're thinking about banning it.
Isn't it 10 seconds? Oh, sorry.
Well, that's just a political ploy they're doing. But
oh, okay. I just saw that headline. I didn't click
No, a time limit on like how long she can be on it. Because it's a weird app. I feel kind of uncomfortable with it for some reason.
Well played.
But it's amazing how many people do dumb crap. And like they get millions of thumbs or hearts. I don't know what they're doing on TikTok, but she shows me
that. So is there a financial benefit? What is the benefit to
it? It's social media. People make money off it.
I think it's like following. It's like Instagram. It's like you get enough likes and follows, you get companies that hit you up and say, hey, we'll give you $20,000. Can you pub our stuff?
Because otherwise, there's just really no point.
No. Does it frustrate you, Swag, knowing you're smarter than 99% of the people on Instagram who make $50 million or more a year?
There's a great meme of that. It was like some finding out a 12-year-old YouTuber made $15 million last year. It's like some guy walking into his work with a master's degree.
making $16 an hour.
Right.
It's I extrapolate it further to the point where that is more valuable to our society than other things.
It's very sad.
Look what we're currently dealing with right now.
You ask why people don't know about World War II?
Yeah. they have to be famous for 10 seconds.
Your next number is one.
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 Oh, I got a good feeling about this one.
Is it the number of games in which LeBron James played that he failed to score double-digit points for the Miami Heat?
In all games.
Regular and postseason, not preseason. Regular and postseason. Or is it the maximum amount of marijuana in ounces in which a possession conviction was made by the state of Colorado that could soon be mass pardoned by the governor under a new bill?
Okay.
Ooh.
Do I need to break the I had a hard time writing that one.
It's okay.
You got it.
The governor, they're saying
it's all legal now. Let's pardon all these folks who are in jail.
All these people that got cited on convictions for possession.
Good.
Is it up to an ounce that those would all be pardoned?
It's a waste of...
I'm trying to get my college brain working again in a reference of an ounce of weed.
I saw a sign for weed in the Newport area over the weekend. It was like, we got an ounce for... I can't remember what the price was, but I was like, cool.
I'm pulling up a picture.
Now, I got a full disclaimer here. I feel like cocky dirt when you ask this question because I feel like I know the answer, which probably leads to getting a dirt-like result, and that's the buzzer. I'm going to say...
An ounce doesn't look like that much weed.
I will say it is one, and it was the playoff finals game against Dallas when he scored 8 points because Brian Windhorst kept track, and he said in regular season... LeBron James had this streak, and he was doing that when he went back to Cleveland. Now, his finals was really bad against Dallas after about the third game, but I think he only had one of those games where he scored single digits. There was another one where I think he had like 10. I'm going to conclude that it was a stat. It was one game.
Well, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I'm also going to answer stat. Maybe you should start answering after me, but I'm too good to go with stat. Yeah. Was it the finals game against Berea?
I'm double checking my work right now.
No, if I'm wrong, it's fine. He had 8 against Dallas in a game. I remember watching it, and I could not believe.
Yeah, J.J. Berea shut him down.
I was watching maybe the best basketball player of all time do that. Yeah, I was like, what?
I mean, that has to go up in the all-time yips. Like, he just froze in that moment.
I think he mentally broke.
I really think
he did.
Yeah. There it is. 8 points against Dallas, game 4.
Game four.
That was the
they were
June
up in the series, too, weren't they?
2-1.
2-1.
They were in 2-1 after the third game, and I was like, they're going to win the title.
Do you see ESPN's hot takey thing today?
No.
Where the Miami teams of LeBron, D Wade, and Bosh a failure for only winning 2 championships.
I hate that we do that. I think, given the current sports hot take climate, a lot of people would instantly say yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't call them a failure. I would just say they probably should have won the first one and lost the third one. Because they shouldn't have lost to that Dallas team. If LeBron shows up, they win that series. And then they were a miracle away from losing the third one.
You know,
I don't count that as a failure.
Well, here's the other thing. Not only should they have beaten Dallas, and yes, the Spurs one was kind of fluky in the way they came back and won.
Game six, hit the shop.
You could make a strong argument, Dirt. They should have been in a much better position to win four straight. Because if you don't remember, the 2014 series, I believe, went game one down to the wire. LeBron cramped, had to leave.
Oh, in the last series.
They won game two in San Antonio.
Yeah, the AC stopped working.
And then the San Antonio Spurs could not miss a three-point shot. They shot like 77%.
Took off from there.
And yeah, they ended up blowing them out in every game.
The story comes from the Denver Post. Colorado Governor Jared Polis signed a bill into law Monday that allows him to mass pardon Coloradans with minor marijuana possession convictions up to 2 ounces of marijuana in possession. The lawmakers passed the bill on June 15th, which was the last day of their legislative session this year. And the bill aims to make legal marijuana industry more accessible to people of color.
Yeah.
Those who were previously convicted on drug charges, those wouldn't be crimes now, so they can go through and get properly licensed and all of those sorts of things.
Now, maybe I'm a dirty hippie, but shouldn't we do it for all of them since it's legal?
I don't know what the specific, how much you can purchase to have on you at any one time.
I know people are allowed to grow plants and that kind of stuff. Yeah. You're allowed to smoke
it,
carry it.
I think there's an actual number. You can only have like 2 plants or 4 plants or something like that.
I think it's 3.
You can't have a farm in your backyard.
That's true.
Well,
that's true. All right, your final number is 93. I mean,
who's to say you can't?
93.
I'm going 3-0 today, baby.
The most number of 3-point field goals LeBron James made in any one of the 4 regular seasons he played for the Miami Heat.
This is right up my alley.
No, made 3-point field goals.
Yes. So his best, the most made threes in one season he played for the Heat.
Is it the
percent of antlered deer on Staten Island that had been successfully sterilized under a program which had its budget just cut due to COVID-19?
Okay. Now, look, I'm going to whiff this in grand fashion.
You're saying
it's
way too many.
This is going to be Canseco taking a ball off the head over the fence. But there's an 82-game season.
That's
93
correct.
Yes. Saying the most he's made in a season.
Yes.
Yes, so a regular
gotta be
season.
A couple
no
of games
playoffs
where
here.
He made a couple of more than that. It's got to be more than 93. Boom. Market 8. This is a story.
What's disturbing is I'm also leaning story, but I'm afraid.
Like, he's not a big-time three-point shooter, but he takes a couple a game. Like, how many games does he make 2 3-pointers in? He's probably got a few that he doesn't make any.
Well, he's probably doing that now.
Right?
But he wasn't as prominent three-point shooter at that point. But I don't think that number is right. I'm going to lean. I've never learned. I'm going story. I've never learned.
It's a story.
Was my math right? Tell me my math was right.
His final season in Miami, he made 116 threes.
Boom goes the dynamite.
This comes to us from the New York Post. New York City halting the Staten Island deer vasectomy program amid budget cuts. It was a $6.6 million program for the Parks Department. But everybody's getting their budget cut, they won't be able to do it. They had a program where they, once the new bucks that came in, they were successfully keeping the deer population down on Staten Island so they wouldn't run amok. And they had, 93% since they installed the program several years ago, brought it under control. But now it's going to be put on ice until June of next year. They can't afford it right now. Temporarily placed their successful deer sterilization contract on hold, along with cutting some deer and other wildlife marketing expenses that total $700,000. It was initially expected to cost $3.3 million. What was that for? Oh, the city contracted White Buffalo in 2016 to address the island's abundance of horny deer. They've caused car accidents and brought on the borough's roads.
Do we have deer humping noises coming? Is that what
you're
telling
me? I didn't
do
that for you.
Okay.
No.
What do you think a deer sounds like?
Yeah. go pull the sound. I feel like that's pretty accurate. I'm on a heater right now. All I'm riding a heater. 3-0. That's a deer hump sound right there.
I'm all in on the deer humping sound.
I feel like deers have high voices.
Really?
I feel like they're high-pitched.
Yeah.
As of April, the city said 93% of Staten Island's antlered deer had been sterilized. The city is facing a $9 billion shortfall and was forced to make drastic budget cuts in the wake of the lockdown.
That sucks. I'm so glad we don't have to do that as humans.
Well, who knows? Yeah. We'll see how fast. We'll see if deer are like rabbits out on Staten Island come next year.
Just humping around. There he goes. Sadder story every Wednesday at 2:15. 3-0, baby. 3-0.
I'm proud of you.
Feels good. Feels good. Riding a heater.
I'm all gravy, baby.
I'm all gravy, baby. Taking it into next week, too. I had good math in the last one. Showed my work. God, I'm on fire. All right.
Is that deer?
That's a little deery right there. I could see that. Okay, let's get to a stolen car crashing into another stolen car. Also, if you were sleeping over at a gal's house for the first time, met her, you went home with her, and you left a little stain on the bed sheet. What would you do?
I'm uncomfortable with this story.
Let's get to those next. Yeah. I'm sitting on the dock. Somebody asking, please don't do this story. It's hard enough for me to get action as it is. I don't need somebody writing me off because I think I'm not a good wiper. Unfortunately, when you get content like this, you can't pass on it. One quick sports note before we get to it. Raheem Mostert has requested a trade from the 49ers.
Good for him. You know, special teams guy who burst onto the scene. This is a little surprising in the sense of he's the 23rd highest paid back in the NFL.
Yeah, and he led the league in like yards per carry last year, I believe.
Well, but I mean, like, when I say that, I'm taking that from Bill Barnwell, by the way. The point is, like, you're paid starter money. There's 32 teams in the NFL. You're the 23rd highest paid player at that position. Our guy Dieter Kurtenbach made a good point. What did you expect? You were coming in as a guy hoping to make the team as a special teams guy. Why did you put no kickers in his contract that if he had production and he played running back, he'd make more money? He's nice, but this is San Francisco's not going to miss this. This is he is a system fit. Kyle Shanahan, I mean, unless they ever hit on like a Todd Gurley guy before the arthritic stuff kicked in, unless you hit on that, I can't fathom them really ever paying a running back because of his system.
Hell, look at his dad, man. His dad turned out 1,000-yard back after 1,000-yard back after 1,000-yard back in Denver. It was that's what he was known for. His agent tweeted out after months of unproductive talks with the 49ers about fairly adjusting his contract, which paid him for special teams. We have requested a trade. Disappointing it would come to this for a guy who led the NFL running backs in yards per carry and helped lead the team to the Super Bowl.
Oh, so some would argue it's the offensive line, and good luck. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, he was a part of their offense, but yeah, I'm with you. I don't think they're going to have a tough time replacing him. He was an awesome story, and I get why he wants to get paid, but there you go. Okay, let's get to... let me set this one up first. We might have to carry it into the next segment.
Oh, God. I was uncomfortable reading it on an email.
It's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you, spending the night at a lady's house, 503-250-1080. See if you can top this. A man woke up to discover he had left some embarrassing marks on his date's bed sheets, and he sent desperate texts for help, and they went viral because his buddy, being the good person that he is, shared his texts on Twitter.
So messed up.
The 26-year-old from Dublin needed to find a solution because he stayed overnight at the house, woke up the next morning, discovered those poo stains on the white bedding. So he texted his buddy. Here's what he said. He texted his buddy this, quote, "Had a dirty whiskey bleep, came back, must have wiped my bleep. Not properly. There's bleep on her sheets."
So she's gone.
She woke up in the morning, and when she woke up, he kind of moved around and noticed that there were stains on the bed sheets. Okay? We're at.
Is Isaac Rob robbing a bank right now?
He kind of looks like it. He's got a bank robber vibe,
too. He's got like a ponytail and sunglasses going.
He's got one of those masks on. The guy responded, "I'll crop your name out, but this is going on Twitter," and he did. He posted it on Twitter, and it went viral. He advised him to get out of there and delete everything. Just get out of the situation as possible, as quickly as possible. His buddy texted him back, said, "Are you still there?" He said, "Yes, I'm still lying in the big stain of, you know what, the smell is starting to become noticeable.
Oh,
I think I'm going to make an escape soon." So apparently he made his getaway before she could notice or say anything. But and they also, by the way, have not spoken since then. He said the reason this happened was that he ate a burger and chips from Burger King, and he drank a liter of Hennessy the night before. And they were watching a TV show. He went to the bathroom. He was kind of hammered, didn't really realize it, didn't wipe thoroughly enough, okay, left the stains.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So his thought process, and I wonder what your thought process would be to get out of this situation. He said, one, she got up to walk around the house, go to the bathroom. While she was doing that, he took the time to swap the sheets around so that the stains would be on her side of the bed, not on his side of the bed, so he'd have plausible deniability. And then he followed up by spilling beer on the stain and then like kind of rubbing it in so it looked like somebody just spilled a beer on that side of the bed. He texted his buddy saying it's not looking good for the relationship.
Yeah, that's probably not going to be a long-term commitment there, Bob. I have to fully admit I don't have a story even close to this.
You don't got one of those?
No, my embarrassing stories in bed are largely other departments.
Sure.
But
the speed and the pace, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's it didn't live up to the delivery. But never this. Because at least with the other thing, you can be made fun of and still have a personality to recover from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can have a really bad performance.
Sure.
She can laugh. It's kind of awkward, but instead of making it more awkward, you laugh with her, you joke, you
self-deprecating,
say,
well, like, "Oh, that was quick, huh?"
Yeah. You kind of own it, and you can get past this. If you're leaving bathroom stains on a bed sheet.
I don't know if there's any coming back from that.
You're done. And by the way, his friend is a real POS for sharing that. Like,
oh, I would totally share it too.
You would?
I would. If somebody texted that to
Twitter?
Me, that's too good to pass up.
Come on.
I'd share that in a heartbeat.
No way you would.
I totally would. I'd black out the name so nobody would ever know who it was.
Yeah, but some people black out the names you can still see through the black.
I would totally do it. They posted this on Twitter. It had 25,000 likes and a bunch of late advice that obviously didn't help him because it was posted after it actually happened. And somebody said you should have asked for a strong cup of coffee and then accidentally spilled the cup of coffee on it.
Oh.
That's not a bad...
But it depends what... I hate to get graphic. It depends what color it is.
Because if you're... if you're spilling like a dark coffee and
What if it's got a greenish hue?
Sure. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Then you got a bit of an issue. But if you spill a cup of coffee on the sheets, what's the immediate move? You strip the bed and you go wash the sheets because you just spilled it. Oh, I got to clean that up.
No.
Right? Oh, I got it. And you strip the bed immediately, go throw in the washing machine. Maybe she never would have known.
That's a good point.
Hindsight's 20/20, but I thought that was a pretty good pretty good point. So there you go. Man in Dublin accidentally got some stains on the bed sheet of late. He was sleeping in the bed for the first time, and the smell started to get bad. The relationship did not last. He spilled a beer on there and then got the hell out. So how would you have handled that? 503-250-1080 is the fan text line.
Happens if you're just honest? Like, what if you legit go...
Bold move, Cotton.
Yeah, it is.
It's a bold move.
So is trying to cover it up.
Listen, I had a Whopper last night, drank a lot of Hennessy.
I'm not proud of this. This does not happen regularly.
I didn't cover the wiping area wide enough.
Take my faults as I am.
Let me for who I am.
I will clean this up. And then I will prove to you I'm not this man.
I think you would get a thank you for the honesty. Now get the hell out of my apartment.
Well, at least you tried.
And at that point,
maybe you're right.
All right, we got a poll question to answer. Also, a stolen car crashing into another stolen car in Oregon. We'll close up there next on The Fan.
Loves your mama, loves Jesus, in America too.
Great text coming into The Fan text line.
So the closest I can get to this story, you know, what I would say is I was already in a really committed long-term relationship with who is now my wife.
Uh-huh.
We were living together. It was our last year of college. I got hammered one night. I think my brother came into town, went to a couple bars. And I'm living in a studio apartment that's probably 400 square feet.
Yeah, not a lot of space in those, man.
Yeah, it's like one of these houses, old houses that they turn into like six different apartments. And I go in, and like when you come in, the room is a bed, and then the living room are like one room, and it's not very big. And we're sleeping. I'm passed out. I woke up at I don't know what time, but it was somewhat dark outside still. All I remember is waking up in a panic that I was about to pee my pants.
Yeah.
So I got up. I'm hammered. My little brother is sleeping probably 10 feet from me on a futon couch. I have a living room table that's tiny IKEA one. I don't know why. I think I was still really drunk. I just urinated all over the table. The wife mid-flow goes, "What are you doing?" And I go,
"What?
Oh,
what do you
no.
want from me?
So I cut, and then I went to the bathroom, and I finished. And then this is the worst part. I just went back to bed, and I cleaned it up like 3 hours later.
Hey, get in the morning.
The funniest part about this is that my brother was maybe 2 feet from this, and he didn't wake up at all. He had no clue this was going on.
He didn't even notice that was happening.
No idea. But
I clean it up in the morning. Don't worry about it. We'll get it later.
The relationship was getting ruined over that.
Yeah, at that point, she's in.
Yeah, she's in.
She's not going to dump you for something like that.
She just called me a moron.
That's a good position to be in. Somebody said, first night I slept at the lady's place, I got drunk and peed the bed, woke up at 4 a.m. wet, grabbed a towel to lay on while I figured out why my life was spiraling out of control. As I'm debating jumping out of the window, as she wakes up, I come clean. She laughs and says, no problem. You gave me a...
Yeah.
He said they ended up getting married. I can't rephrase that one. I almost did there. Sorry about that.
Yeah, he's nonchalantly going into it, aren't you? Howard Stern-like radio host.
Somebody said woke up hammer in the middle of the night and peed into a girl's fan.
What?
It's like, I wonder what kind of fan it was. It was like one of those that's like going back and forth. Why would you do that into the fan? I got a lot of follow-up questions. I said, don't remember. It got thrown out the following morning.
Was it one of those big window fans that you put in, those square ones?
Did you just go out the window? Okay, I'm going to read some accidental texts here, so let's go ahead and move on.
I would be careful. We appreciate reading those texts. I'll just say that.
Yeah, the only one that comes close for me is I once in college plugged the toilet at a girl's apartment.
That you were seeing?
It was very, very early on, and it was over. There was no recovery from that. There was no plunger. They don't have plungers for some reason. It's like, that's not a normal problem for them, but you got to have one readily available, and there was not one readily available.
So what did you do?
I just left. I said I wasn't feeling well, and I left. Never talked again.
You left her toilet clogged.
What am I supposed to do? There wasn't a plunger there. That's not on me. That's not my fault. Get a plunger. What do you want from me here? What, I'm supposed to dig in with my hands? I'm going to go grab a spatula out of the kitchen? You need to be prepared for these situations, okay? I got like 4 plungers in the house at all times because you never know when you're going to need one. You never know which toilet's going to back up.
Don't you only have 2 toilets in
your
house?
Yeah, but you never know. Maybe one malfunctions. You got to have a backup plunger.
Did you see her again?
I think we crossed paths like a couple of times like on campus, but I never spoke to her again after that. Yeah, that was it.
You went from liking this girl.
It was all over for
wanting
there.
To be
there
with her.
There was no coming back from
to
that.
To clogging the toilet and just outward leaving her, never saying hi.
Thankfully, it was not like an Along Came Polly thing where it overflowed onto the floor. Because when I saw that movie, it brought back some terrible flashbacks. Remember that scene? Where
Yeah.
And it's like, and then he turns on the shower.
Doesn't he try to use the ferret?
I think he uses the ferret. He uses like the loofah. He's trying to unplunge it.
He uses like her grandma's towels that she passed down after she died.
Right, and then she opens the door and he's like standing on the toilet seat with the loofah.
But
in the
how
toilet.
Did that end?
I mean, it ended up happy for them. That's true. Yeah. I mean, maybe I should have just come, you know.
I mean, look, you're married now.
Again,
but
in the moment, you're not going to come out and say, hey, took a big steamer in there and it's clogged.
Were you 19, 20? What were you?
I think 19.
So?
I think 19.
Yeah, we say 19, like, oh, yeah, I was mature at 19.
Sure, hindsight's 20-20, but come on.
19 for men is basically the same age as being 13 still. There's just, we get privileges. We get to drive now. So I totally get where you're coming from. I don't know if I would have outward left. I might would have.
I know. I totally turtled. I didn't know what to do.
I might have just been. I'm just kind of honest. And so it can be really bad or it could be really good. And I'm like, I'm going to go get you a plunger.
I'm going to go buy one at Kmart down the street. And,
there's some real damage in there and you want nothing to do with it.
Why don't you go ahead and leave that door closed for the next hour or so. I'll be back.
Do you have any police caution tape?
Can you please let me back in when I come back and I'll fix the problem? Then we'll go get a beer. No, not going to happen. Okay. I saw this story.
I was one of the rotating fans, by the way. The listener updated.
Yes. Well, you know, it's a target practice. It's moving back and forth.
Man, all over. Not good.
One more to get to. There was a car chase the other day in Newburgh. You guys
Shout
okay?
out Newburgh.
Newburgh.
I just drove through Newburgh.
Did you?
Coming back from Newport.
Drove through Newburgh. There was a car chase, and the police were chasing a dude. He ran into another car.
What day was this?
This was Monday.
Bro.
On Monday. Yes. You were driving through Newburgh on Monday. So they...
I got back on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
There was an accident on our way back on Sunday. I was like, wait, maybe this was the accident.
So a car hit another car. The car that they were chasing was stolen. That's why they were chasing it. The gentleman who crashed the car into another car happened to crash into a car that also was stolen.
That's called karma.
That's called killing two birds with one stone right there. They caught two car thieves. They didn't even mean to. Well thought out.
Are they okay, though?
I think everybody's okay, yeah. They were taken into custody.
Why isn't the people that steal cars always look like the people that would steal cars?
That's a very good point.
Go Google these people and you'll go, oh, yeah, I can see
it. I don't know about the gal. You think the gal looks like a car thief?
Absolutely.
You think so?
She looks like she steals everything. She, like, steals things that she doesn't need just to steal them. Hey, I stole his lighter off his counter. Why?
Why'd you do that?
Because he doesn't know.
Okay, well, there you go. That's enough fun for one day. If you missed any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can go find it. We'll tweet it out at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. We had Stuart Mandel on, and we went to Philly for the Daily Ticker. We're off to play some golf. Thanks for being a part of our Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.